Son, Jesus Christ, and we consider the unconditional love that he pours out upon us, and we're reminded day in and day out that we're to cast our worries, to cast our anxieties upon him, and we're taking this time now this morning to do just that. And we know, Father, that you hear our prayers, and we know you act on our behalf. And though we don't always understand your will for our lives, we pray that your will would be done. And we just think of those that are in hospice right now, Father, that are facing the end of their life, those that are dealing with severe illnesses, those that are going through family difficulties, financial difficulties, whatever it may be upon us right now, Father, the loss of loved ones, we just pray you would continue to allow us to feel your presence. We know, Father, that we must draw near to you, but we know you never move. You're always the same and you're with us. So we pray, Father, that your presence, your powerful presence would be felt in our lives. We thank you, Father, for friends that have gathered here this morning, and we just do indeed pray safe travels for them as they journey onward, and just pray this time together with church family would be an experience for them, and they would be overwhelmed by your presence here. And we just thank you, God, for having friends with us and being able to gather in fellowship with one another, and we just thank you for what friends mean to us and pray blessings over each of them this morning. We think of Kobe's and the outreach they have and the ministry that they do for so many families and so many teens and children. And we just continue to lift up Kobe's. And as our offering goes to help them with the needs they have, we pray that we would be cheerful givers in doing so. But we think of Kobe's and the leaders there and those working with the children, the families, the teens. We lift them up to you in a special way today and just lead, guide, and direct them and allow them to know exactly what they need to say in given circumstances. We think, Father, of teachers. We think of volunteers and how thankful, how much gratitude we have for the teachers and volunteers that have spoken to our lives. And we know recently VBS, the number of volunteers we had and those in this church as a whole, behind the scenes, on the front scenes, and just pray your abundant blessing over them. We just thank you for each one here gathered. You know specifically what is happening in their life right now. You know the struggle. You know the joy. You know what they're dealing with. And we just pray, Father, that you would just enter in to their life and allow them to know just the way that you're moving and how you're acting on their behalf. But Father, we know you do have a pleasing, perfect will for us. And we sit back, but yet we're active in what your will is for us as we pray into that. And we just pray now, as we know this week we've sinned, we've fallen short, and we just ask for forgiveness because we know, Father, that you've made it available through your Son, Jesus, on the cross. And we just pray now for those sins to be forgiven and confess them to you. And we also pray for those prayers upon our hearts. Please hear our prayers. Father, we thank you for the mercy that you give us new each day. We thank you for your compassion that you pour out upon us. We thank you, Father, that we can walk in your ways, and as we read your word and as we try to live a life that is worthy of our calling as disciples, as followers, as image bearers, we pray that we would be doing that very well, that the world would see you through us. But we know, Father, that we too make mistakes. We are human. And as we do that, we pray that you would just help us to get back up, to lift ourselves up through your help and through your guidance, and to continue onward, that we wouldn't continue to dwell on that sin, but turn away from it and move past it. So, Father, thank you for that forgiveness of sins you offer through the cross. Thank you, Father, for the empty tomb and the eternal life that awaits us. This life is fleeting. This life is temporary. And we just cling to the knowledge of our salvation. We know what your Son has given for each of us. But, Lord, we also are reminded there's those that reject the cross, those that reject the empty tomb. And, Father, maybe someone here is questioning whether this all can be real. And we pray that as we live this life, we would be evidence, we would be proof of what the transformation looks like in our lives so others can see you. We just thank you for your grace. We thank you that we can live lives that reflect the light. And we pray that we indeed would continue to carry that light into this world and allow the light to shine into the darkness. We pray for peace everywhere. And we just thank you, Father, for letting us be bearers of that peace. And we thank you most of all, Father, for that unconditional love that you pour out upon us. May we indeed reflect that love to others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it reads, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We know that a well-oiled machine running with precision, while fulfilling its purpose to perfection, is a beautiful thing. With regular tune-ups, giving it the right fluids, and using it as it was designated and designed, the machine can operate productively for many years. A machine with each part working perfectly in sync is sometimes used as an analogy for the body of Christ, the church. Unfortunately, the church is not made up of quality inspected, mass manufactured parts, but people, you and I, all too humanly flawed, positively imperfect people. Even if we are in tune with the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, and dedicated to the will of God with the Holy Spirit, we're still uniquely handmade and instilled with individual will. This living organism is held together not by bolts and steel, but by each one's decision to hold hands, to repair the breaches, and to invite other perfectly imperfect people to take hold. We must offer our whole selves, moment by moment, to the beautiful, delicate, powerful, unparalleled body of Christ. Would you pray with me? We thank you, Father, that we can be an active member in our church fellowship. We thank you, Father, for the mission that we are passionate about to reach those that are lost, to share our love with others, to shine a light into the dark world. And we know, Father, it requires stewardship, it requires giving, and we are so overwhelmed and thankful for the cheerful givers in this congregation. We pray now that you would bless our offering and allow it to be glorified, that we would use it for your purposes. And we praise you for each giver and ask that you would bless them. And we just thank you, Father, for who you are and the abundance that you give us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many of you know what silly putty is?
La, la, la.
Oh, good. You all know what silly putty is. All right. When I was little, I used to love playing with silly putty. Can any of you tell me what silly putty all can do?
When you stick it on a page, and you rip it, and it come, and you take it off, the words end up on a silly putty.
That was exactly what I was trying to get you to say. Thank you. I didn't know how to explain it, so you explained it perfectly. Now, if we press, like Graham said, we press it down, it copies right off. So now you can only, now you can see the image of what was on that paper on the silly putty. If we only knew God from a distance, do you think we would ever get close?
No.
No? We would never get close to him. And we will never see God in us. But if we live our lives close to God, doing the things the Bible tells us, do you think we'll be God's image?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes? The Bible tells us that we are made in God's image and that it is what we want people to see. If we allow ourselves to get close with God, it can transfer and come off to us. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, well, Ram basically took over the children's moment there. So let's pray. Dear God, help us to show others what your image really looks like. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Next song, we just invite you to really allow the words of this hymn to speak into your life as the Spirit of God falls upon each of us and we enter into this time of communion. We would invite you to just examine yourselves, to prepare yourself for the partaking of the bread which represents Christ's body and the blood which represents the cup that we'll be drinking. So please take this time as we sing this song to reflect on the words and also to engulf in what God's Spirit is speaking to you. To come forward for distribution of the cup and the bread, I invite you to pray with me. Father God, we know that this moment is sacred. We know we do not take this moment for granted. For we recognize that in partaking of the bread, we're reminiscing of your body, similar to ours, that was broken for each of us. We recognize that as we drink of the cup, the blood that was poured out from your body, that our sins would be forgiven, that we would be cleansed, that we would be made new. So, Father, we don't enter this moment lightly, but we enter it with reverence, with self-examination, and with an attitude that is directed toward the cross. For we know that it's on that cross that our lives have been made transformed. So thank you for the difference the cross makes for us. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your blood that you poured out. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. In Gethsemane, Jesus struggled against what he saw on the path ahead. And yet the one who was Christ could never wash his hands of responsibility. The one who had chosen the foot basin of service would set no limit on self-giving, sacrificial, unconditional love. Through the symbol of the bread, we remember Christ's body surrendered in death. We also symbolize our faith family, the church, the body of Christ, ready to give itself to bring life to others. We break our bread in a custom of earlier times, remembering we are each a part of a larger whole, a body of faith through which we are to know and proclaim Christ's body, Christ's style of life to others. Let us ask God's blessing for the bread. Holy God, alert us to the full impact of what we are about to do. May we see in our minds the vivid reality of one who was faithful all the way to a cross, that we might live. God, may we not eat this bread lightly. As we eat, may we commit ourselves anew to being a part of the body of Christ, giving itself in obedience and love. Amen. In Luke, we read, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The deacons will now distribute the bread. Thereafter, we'll have our unison affirmation. Would you join me in our affirmation of faith? The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. You may eat. As we continue to eat the bread, continue, Father, to remind us of your Son, Jesus, recognizing it was your one and only Son. It was your Son that you gave to pay the price for us all, no one excluded. And we come to this moment, having eaten the bread, remembering your broken body, especially for us. And Father, I pray that moment by moment each day, we would recognize what you have done for each of us. And we would never, ever take it for granted. But in that broken body, we would be reminded of the brokenness in this world. And that the only restoration, the only reconciliation that can take place is through that cross and what you have done for us. That is where we find peace, and that is where we can know you, our Father in heaven. We pray now as we consider the blood that's been poured out for us. A blood that's been spilled over us, that cleanses us, that washes us new. We know, Father, as we drink this cup, that that blood has power, that blood has meaning. And so we don't drink it lightly. Amen. We know that blood is equivalent to life. The cup symbolizes the total surrender and pouring out of the Christ life in his death. It reminds us of how he lived and died, pouring himself out for all in that love and that death, followed by resurrection. We receive the promise that beyond all that happens to us in this death-filled world, we can know a life and a hope that nothing can destroy. All this is held within the cup. Would you pray with me? Most generous God, through Christ, you have revealed the totality of your love for us all. There seems no way to express our gratitude. Grant that we might live our thanksgiving in joyous recognition of cleansing received and resurrection, new life begun. May we not move through this act in a dulled habit, but rather in enlivened awareness of the ongoing Christ life in us. Revive our faith and our courage that we too may pour ourselves out for the sake of all who continue to be lost and broken by life. Extend your realm through us, we pray. Amen. Luke reports these words of Jesus: "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." The deacons may distribute the cup.
Thank you.
Would you join me in unison affirmation? The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. You may drink. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that this service isn't over. We know it's only the beginning. What we have been about here is not a series of holy acts separate from life. Rather, these acts have been a reminder that we belong to Christ always and everywhere. We carry the Christ Spirit into our homes, into our daily activity, and to all the relationships we have. For we recognize we are Christ's people. By God's grace, may all this be so. Amen. Communion, one of the most significant events in the life of a believer. Remembering Christ's sacrifice, his broken body, his blood, sealing the covenant between God and his people, poured out to forgive the sins of many. His promise to never drink the wine again until the day he drinks it new with us in his Father's kingdom. But does it end there, my friends, only remembering? Or does remembering lead us to another way of living, simply, peacefully, and together? There couldn't be a clearer picture of his sacrifice and the way in which we are called to live. It's a word, though, that sends chills down our spines. To give up, to forfeit, to let go, to surrender. A word that sends us into action, forsaking ourselves and considering the other first. We know sacrificial living is not for the faint of heart. It takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes humility and a willingness to serve one another. But did you ever wonder, where did it all begin? We've been talking a lot about beginnings these past few weeks. God, who we know always was, always is, and always will be, made creation by his spoken word. And God said, and so it was. And today in our passage, we'll realize the next time that we look into the mirror, we can begin to see ourselves created in God's image. Now to this point, we have heard God say that it was good. But today, for the first time, we will hear him say it was very good. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone says to me, wow, that meal was very delicious. Man, did you see the way he played his game today? He was doing very well. That word very takes on emphasis. That word very means it was above and beyond. So God is saying to us, as he created us in his image, we are very good. Today is the last day of creation, the sixth day we'll read of. But today marks a day in which God sees things, sees us as very good. And so we'll begin in verse 20, Genesis 1. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And in verse 26, we recognize there is power in the spoken word. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand and read with me from verse 26 to the end. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave. You thank you so much for making us in your image. But Father, we realize that that image has been scarred. And we're praying, Father, for forgiveness. We're praying to be able to act on your behalf, knowing that it's your image we long to proclaim to this world. We pray that we indeed would be givers. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's two words that God says here that define sacrifice. I give, meaning to provide, to offer, to present, and one of my favorite words, to bestow. God essentially is letting go of the seed-bearing plants, the trees that have fruit, and everything that has the breath of life in it so that we would be provided for. He even goes on to tell us to rule over them. You see, that sacrifice comes into play as we live out God's image. In the most epic of ways, to live is to give, and to give is to live. Giving has far greater blessings than we'll ever conceive. And when God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," he finished his work with a personal touch. Later in chapter 2, verse 7, as God forms Adam from the dust, notice that he gave him life by sharing his own breath. Friends, I think the very breath of God breathing on us is what should breathe out of us to others. It's what makes us unique of all creation. So we don't only have this material body, but we have a soul. We have a spirit. To keep it simple, having the image or the likeness of God means we are made to look a lot like him. But the question is, how are we doing? Are we representing him well? Many of you remember the 90s. Do you remember the name Andre Agassi? Anyone? Andre Agassi was a tennis player at the start of his career that took the popularity of tennis to a whole new level. We're told advertising execs for Canon cameras invested millions in an ad campaign with Agassi that delivered the famous line, "Image is everything." Now that word image can take on way too many meanings. Media has a way of saturating us with their thoughts. We don't even need TV. We don't need a radio anymore. All we need to do is drive down the road and there's billboards that catch our attention. And what are those billboards trying to do? They're trying to learn us, to school us in drinking this or wearing this or doing that. And so media has such a power over our lives. But for all intents and purposes, the image that matters most is the image of God we're putting on display for the world. Keep in mind, Adam didn't resemble God in the sense of having God's flesh and blood. Scripture says in John 4:24 that God is spirit. And therefore, friends, he exists without a body. You could say as a spirit, he's invisible, yet know this, friends, he is personal. It means he has intelligence. He has emotion. He has volition. In other words, he has a will. Hence, his divine attributes are love and holiness. His love will always be holy love, and his holiness will always be loving holiness. But in a deeper sense, more meaningful to you and I, God as a spirit is living and active. And that is such good news. The proof is in our passage. He actively creates. He actively sustains. And later on, we'll learn that he actively covenants with his people. We need to know that there is no passive object of human investigation before us. Knowing God's not like my days in the FFA where I studied soil and did land judging. God is known by his creative works. We call that general revelation. God is known through his word, which we call special revelation. Yet on another level involving both objective conceptual validity and subjective personal fellowship. Now friends, when we consider Adam's body, it mirrors the life of God, created in perfect health and not subject to death. We know that this changes as a result of what? Sin. But the image of God, in the Latin, it's imago Dei. It means that we are distinctly set apart from the animal world. But even more importantly, this enables us to commune with our Creator, to have fellowship with our Maker. What greater news could there be? Now, we're defined as being able to reason. We're defined as being able to choose. But also, we're defined as being able to reflect God's intellect and his freedom. You know, when we invent a machine, when we write a book, when we paint a landscape, when we enjoy a symphony, when we calculate a sum, 2 + 2 is what? Or we name a pet. We're proclaiming the fact that we are made in God's image. But in addition to 2 + 2 = 4, let's see how well this intellect plays out. Now we need to be active in this, so I need you to spell for me the word shop.
S-H-O-P.
Now what do you do when you get to a green light? Wrong. You go at a green light, right? You can tell who was here at the first service. The point's being made that we're not God. We're not perfect, nor will we ever be. We call this a journey of faith in which we long to know God more and more, and we long to live out his image. Morally, we were created in righteousness and perfect innocence, a reflection of God's holiness. Remember that God saw all that he had made, us included, and called it what? Very good. Our conscience, or shall we say our moral compass, is evidence of that original state. When we write a law, when we turn away from evil, when we praise good behavior, or when we feel guilty, we're confirming the fact that we are made in God's image. Indeed, friends, we were created for fellowship, and as brethren, we do quite well with that, especially when there's ice cream involved. We reflect God's triune nature and his love. But let's fast forward to Eden. We notice that Adam and Eve's primary relationship was with God. He makes the woman because it wasn't good for man to be alone. So every time someone marries, every time someone makes a friend, every time someone hugs a child or attends church, we're demonstrating that we are made in the likeness of God. Now there's this Far Side cartoon that shows a bum sitting in a dirty alley, and there's this giant bug next to him. The bug saying, "There I was, vice president, stock options, corner office, Mercedes. Then one day, someone comes in and says, 'Wait a minute, You're nothing but a giant cockroach. Friends, few of us are worthy of the corner office, stock options, the adoration that goes with it, but none of us are worthy of being called giant cockroaches. In other words, never believe you're as good as everyone thinks you are, and never believe you're as bad as they say you are, because God, who created you in His image, knows better. So there was this guy named Shakespeare. Anyone hear of him? He put it this way: to thine own self be true. Friends, never forget whose image is reflected through you. It may only be a reflection, but to someone else, it may be the only knowledge of God they have. So as much as the world may try to influence that image, I encourage you to stay true to the Word of God. Absolute truth exists. We must recognize that we are indeed image bearers. And we know that we have free choice, we have free will, but in those choices, may we continue to choose to reflect God. And that marred, that stained, that flawed image of God will begin to restore. But we, His people, must rise up and believe and hold on to it that we are image bearers. We must press into the good news that when God redeems us, He restores us to that original image. He creates what we call a new self with true righteousness and holiness. So through Christ, may we be reminded we are a new creation, and it's in that image that it matters most. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that we can shine forth in a world that is dark. We thank You, Father, that we can bring peace to where enemies are destroying this world. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, the most powerful name in the entire universe, that Your will would be done through us. We know the choices that we make on a daily basis, but when we make that choice that doesn't reflect You, I pray, Father, we would confess it, receive forgiveness, and move on, never looking back. That we would continually remind ourselves to be a reflection of the very good You created us to be. We know, Father, the problems that are arising in society, but we know, Father, that You have given us the ability to speak truth into this world. And we pray, Father, that in love and with mercy and with compassion we would do so. So help us, Father, to glorify You in our decisions, in our actions, and in the words in which we speak. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we go forth from this place, may we be reminded the image that we ought bear. May we be reminded that image of God that is willing to be reflected through us if we so choose. May we do so in the name of Jesus, remembering his sacrifice for us, the blood that he poured out, his body that was broken. And may we reveal that kind of love to this world. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.